This has been a wonderful morning so far. It's a joy to have the opportunity to see old friends again, to hear the music of our pickup slash reunion choir. They only had about 20 minutes to get that ready, so I have many thanks to them. Regular choir rehearsals do resume in about 10 days, so if you want to keep singing together, come here on Wednesday the 20th. I do have a word of warning, though, for our visitors today. Last week, I gave a challenge to those who were here. I asked them to, in addition to taking the time to catch up on your personal lives, on the stories of your children and grandchildren, your pets and new homes, I asked those here last week to ask and to be ready to answer two additional questions. Where have you recently seen God in your lives, and how is God calling you into the future? Recently, I have seen God in the movement of the lectionary. I have seen God's activity aligning my own questions and prayers with the text. Last Sunday's passage from Exodus described a portion of Moses' conversation with God and the burning bush, and it came as I was praying with special attention to the future of this community. We will, over the next several weeks, spend more time in Exodus, reading of the Israelites' time in the wilderness, their mostly deliberate journey of transition from what was to what will be under the guidance of the God who gave as a name the eternal I Am. Last week's text did not, however, focus on the Israelites' deliberate journey into the wilderness, but on Moses, who found himself there almost accidentally, chased by forces and events outside of his control. God showed me a link between those forces leading Moses into the wilderness, tending to Jethro's flocks, and the forces that have been acting in our own lives, in our own communities, in our world over the past 3 years and more. The interpersonal and societal relationships that COVID broke and that have still not been repaired. The demographic shifts that have been taking place across our county and across our denomination over the past several decades. In these texts, I see God calling Moses and the Israelites into a reimagined community, one with clear continuity with the past, but one which builds on that past for a stronger and more just future. I remember that the Israelites did not ultimately spend 40 years in the wilderness because they did not know the physical route. Indeed, they reached the promised land much earlier, but then turned back. The Israelites wandered because they needed time to learn how to become the community God was calling them to be. I believe that we, as individuals, as a congregation, as a wider community, and indeed a nation and a world, are in a similar time of transition, a time of wilderness, a time where we know that God is calling us into something new, but we are still discovering what exactly that will be. That is why I posed those two questions. Where have you recently seen God in your lives, and how is God calling you into the future? We have in our Greek texts, our New Testament texts for today, a promise for that future and a model of how to reach it. In our selection from Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul reminds us of the second great commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Paul writes that this great commandment is not an abrogation of the law. It is not a deletion or a compression of the law. It is its summation. Love your neighbor is not a reduction in scope of the Ten Commandments and other laws of Moses. It is a declaration of their end goal. The commandments are a guidance toward minimum standards, an explanation of how to build and structure a community of faith, one in which, as Paul writes, love is the fulfilling of the law. I see two God's actions in our gospel text today. Some months ago, as the session was considering when to hold this event, when to invite our visitors to come back, we mulled over several dates. We considered May, we considered August, we considered next Sunday before we finally landed on today. I had not looked ahead at the lectionary when we had that conversation, but I see the hand of God guiding us to choose this date, this Sunday, as our gospel text talks about relationships and conflict in the church. Some of you know I spent some time studying conflict, earning a master's degree in conflict analysis and resolution. I focused specifically on how religious communities handle conflict. Sometimes churches like to pretend that they have no conflicts. Often that is because we believe conflict is inherently destructive. Conflict is inevitable. Each week, congregations, including our own, have countless conflicts, whether interpersonal conflicts between two members, the argument between two spouses or friends or neighbors, or conflict over the style or selection of music, conflict over the movement of the worship service, conflict over whether we applaud anthems or receive them in silence. Conflict over the color of the carpet. Conflict over the menu for lunch. Conflict is an inevitable part of our human and earthly existence. What matters is how we address it. What makes a conflict healthy or unhealthy, constructive or destructive, is how we approach and deal with it. Today's gospel lesson provides excellent instruction on handling conflict well. First, aim to do so privately. If that fails, seek mediation from one or two others in the congregation, and if that fails, bring the conflict before the community as a whole. If that fails, the gospel tells us to treat the offending person as a Gentile and a tax collector. Treating a person as a Gentile or a tax collector, treating someone as a non-believer, speaks to the congregation's call to reconciliation. The early church was made up in no small part of those who had once, even recently, been Gentiles, pagans, tax collectors, and non-believers of other types. In the time of Christ, no one had been born into a Christian family. In the time of Matthew's gospel, perhaps some few had been born into Christian homes, but most would still have been converts. Treating someone as a Gentile and a tax collector is not cutting them off from the community. It may mean limiting their access to positions of trust and authority, but not barring their entry into the building. That language of treating one as a Gentile and a tax collector speaks to me of a relationship that is damaged, but not beyond repair. It speaks of a community that recognizes that the call to reconciliation, the burden of seeking a restoration of relationship, is never only on one party. I see God in aligning that text with today's gathering. There are so many of you I am thrilled to see here today. And we are all excited to have the chance to gather again with you in worship and to share a meal. But I know as well that there are some who are still missing. There are some who we wish were here, but are not. Some of us may be hurt by their absence, just as some of us may have felt pained at their departure. Our gospel texts remind us that part of our calling as Christians is to continually invite others to share in our lives, in our worship, and in God's love. After all, as Paul wrote, love is the fulfilling of the law. Our gospel text reminds us that we have not only the ability, but a responsibility to reach out to those who we wish were here and are not, and to tell them that. To let them know that they are missed and are welcome back, just as those of you who traveled to join us today are welcome back every week. If you are here and you are not yet able to answer the questions, where have you recently seen God in your life and how is God calling you into the future? I hope that we will have the time to find those answers together. Amen.